Hello and welcome to the DeMartini Show, presented by human behavior expert, Dr. John DeMartini. This is the podcast if you're into personal development and living a life of meaning and purpose. Each of these episodes is designed to guide you through the knowledge, principles, and the practical tools that will help you to gain mind mastery and thereby master and inspire your life. Dr. DeMartini is a global educator. He's a speaker and a polymath with over 49 years of extensive research across multiple disciplines. And that makes him the perfect guide to help you to empower all areas of your life. In this episode, Dr. DeMartini explains why you seek or avoid others on the outside when they remind you of or represent unconscious parts of you that you pridefully like or shamefully dislike on the inside. A quick note before we get started. All the links and downloads that are mentioned during the presentation are available for you to access in the podcast description underneath this episode. And if you'd love to be notified of the next episode, now is the perfect time to follow the show. So grab your pen and paper or your digital note taker and let's get started with this week's episode, Moving Beyond Racism and Prejudice. Enjoy.
The topic today is on a bit of a, I guess you could say, an edgy topic, called racism, which involves discrimination and prejudice and many other subtopics there. And so I'd like to just go off on a bit of a rabbit hole here, go down a rabbit hole and just elaborate on this and put it into a different context. Now, so if you have something to write with or write on, you may be interested in taking some notes. Every human being, regardless of their background, their gender spectrum, their culture, et cetera, their age, lives moment by moment by a set of priorities, set of values, things that are most to least important in their life. And that is called the hierarchy of their values. Now, this is evolving and changing, but at any moment, they have a set of values that they're living their life by. And every perception, decision, and action they take is based on it. That's why you probably have noticed that wherever I do seminars, I mention values because it's the foundation of human behavior, the drive of human behavior. Now, what's interesting is anytime we run across another individual, run into them and have them communicate or do something that we perceive as supportive of our values or challenging of our values, we tend to open up to them or close down to them. And what we found in the study of values is whenever we see more similarities to somebody than differences, we tend to open up. That's how you gain rapport with people if you're communicating and finding common threads. And if you have more differences than similarities, you tend to close down. So when you're infatuated with somebody and admire somebody, if you look very carefully and they list the things they admire about them, they'll find things that are more similar to them than different. And when they're resenting them, they'll have more differences than similarities. And this has been demonstrated over and over again in the presentation I do called the Breakthrough Experience, which I've done for many, many decades. And what's interesting is now, whenever we are supported, we tend to call that the in-group. And whenever we are challenged, we tend to call that the out-group. We tend to seek and we want to be attracted and open up to them or repel and want to avoid them and, get away, you might say. One is an impulse towards, one is an instinct away. One is seeking, one is avoiding. One's attraction, one's repulsion. And when we are similar, we tend to have a tendency in our brain, in our amygdala, our subcortical area of our amygdala, even though it's in the telencephalon, we tend to have a desire for them versus a desire away from them. And we have a subjective bias that we tend to accentuate to create an attraction, an adrenaline to get closer to them. Just like if we were infatuated, we got to be with them. And when we are subjectively biased in a way that sees differences and we want to get away from them. And we do that as a protective mechanism, a survival mechanism to get food, prey, and to avoid predator. Because anything that supports our values represents prey in our brain. Anything that challenges our values represents predator in our brain. And so we go into a subjective bias, a survival response to make sure we don't starve and make sure we don't get eaten. And so anytime somebody accelerates either one of those sides by doing things that we support, that support our values and our perception or challenge our values, we tend to have this polarization. This subjective bias tends to accelerate and accentuate and subjectively bias and opinionate us and increases our prejudice. And so our amygdala in our brain is sort of our prejudice center. And so anything that supports it, we tend to be prejudiced towards the in-group. And we tend to, you know, it's almost like if you're in a political arena, for instance, and you're on one side or the other of this spectrum, left or right, you might say, you tend to think, well, our group is the right group and the other group's the wrong group. And we tend to moralize this and polarize our perceptions and subjectively bias our perceptions because of this. And we end up having prejudice. Now, prejudice many times associated with discriminating against, but actually prejudice can be towards. You can be prejudiced and think, well, anybody that's similar to me, I'm going to give more favor to, and anybody that's different, not. Even parents, when they're raising children, may have, you might say, the individual child that is a little bit more easy to get along with versus the one that's difficult, one that's more obedient versus defiant, and one that supports and challenges, and we tend to favor it. And we don't like to admit this, but we sometimes have fluctuating favoritisms going on in our own family, dealing with our own children based on when it supports and challenges our individual values. So there's no human being that doesn't have this kind of prejudice and this bias and this subjective bias state. We tend to see things that support our bias with confirmation biases on the positive side and disconfirmation bias on the negative. And when we see things that challenge our bias, we have a confirmation bias on the negative and a disconfirmation bias on the positive. A false positive on the positives when we're admiring them, and a false positive on the negatives when we're despising them. We're seeing things that aren't there or that aren't there, and we're not seeing things that are there. And we bias this. Now, this could be anything that supports or challenges us, we could be doing this with. So let me give you some samples of this. This could be political. Anybody that's similar to us in political views, we can be biased towards. Anybody that goes against us in political views, we can be biased against. So we can have a mechanism of a bias and a prejudice discrimination based on that topic. And believe it or not, under the topic of racism, part of race could be many variables. A lot of the issues that we hear about racism isn't about anybody different, because we're all Homo sapiens. We're all the human being that's a Homo sapien. Anytime we can procreate with somebody, it's the same species. So it's not really about anything other than these other discrimination factors that we have. So it could be political. You could actually associate combinations of variables that can make a discrimination, a prejudice that could be classified, subclassified sort of as racism, and not even be about a particular culture or color or anything like that. Color could be one, culture could be another, political affiliation could be another. Sex could be another one, or the spectrum of where they are in the sex, if it supports or challenges your views. It could be gender, the way you're demonstrating your, not just sexuality, your sexual preferences, but your gender preferences could be part of that. You could actually have belief systems. They believe that money's good and you agree with them, and versus money's bad or something. It could be values, individual values, people that have similar values get along easier, and people that have different similar values may not. It could be social classes, where you are in a socioeconomic position, the way you dress, the what you drive. Anything that's similar or different can create these amygdala responses and have a subjective bias, and we can be discriminative and we can be prejudiced. And we can now classify these people, and we create the same biological response. And we could actually create something we would die for on the people that support us, or we would demonstrate almost a genocide or a killing on something that goes against us. It could be taken to those extremes in some cases because of its supportive or challenging of our values. We could have people that are in different social classes. In other words, we could have disabilities. I saw a gentleman just yesterday that I was interested in wanting to go talk to that I happened to be driving by. But when I came back on the drive, I actually wanted to get out and actually have a chat with him. But he had a physical deformities, and he was sitting out and waving to everybody as people going by. And I thought, what an amazing situation. But I could see that many people would probably be awkward interacting with him because of the physical deformity he has, but he was extremely friendly. So he's doing one thing that's supporting, and another thing that might be challenging to a value system, counterbalancing it. So there's a heart that opens. It's been shown that whenever there's a balance of support and challenge, in our perception, it tends to open our heart and be grateful. Maximum growth and development occurs at the border of support and challenge. But when we see more support than challenge or more challenge support, we tend to be prejudiced and biased and create these opinions of people that are usually distortions, exaggerations. We're not seeing both sides. In fact, if you look carefully, every human being has got another side, and every trait that we can ever judge in somebody also has another side. I've been teaching the Breakthrough Experience program, which is my signature program, for three decades and two, three years now. And I've seen people come in with these prejudices and these challenges and these racial issues and discriminations, and they walk out dissolved. Because what we've done is we've taken those nitpicky things that they're judging, those little bitty components, and sometimes it's more than one, and we are neutralizing them by having reflective awareness and owning it. Because the reality is that we only judge things on the outside that represent parts of us that we're judging on the inside, but we're unconscious of it. We're too proud or too humble to admit we have what we see in other people in our form, and then we think ours is better or worse. And our amygdala tends to want to make us proud and project our valuations onto people and assume that's reality, and a generalization is born. A lot of discriminations are just generalizations that are not even facts. They're preconceptions of what people are because of these associations we've made in our brain. Our subconscious mind stores all previous experiences. So if we met an individual that's a woman, that's blonde or whatever, and we had this experience, we'll stack that in our subconscious mind. And now we'll be on the lookout in case we see another blonde or with those behaviors. And then we can then judge accordingly. And these are accumulated in there. They're not facts about people. They're just opinions about people. But we could also have disability as a factor to discriminate between capacity. You know, we now have the Special Olympics, right? Where all of a sudden people that have challenged capacities physically have gone and excelled and done some extraordinary capacities. I had a lovely, amazing woman in my program, the Breakthrough Experience, who was a gold medalist in a particular field. And she was in a wheelchair and she's done amazing things. So that was once a discrimination. Now it's been neutralized because people are now realizing, wow, they've done an extraordinary thing. But that could be a source of discrimination, disability. It could also be your own sexuality, not just your sexual behavior, but your sexuality as you're perceived, your gender positioning, as I've said. You could actually have where you actually come from, part of the world. It could be a location geographically. They could do it. You come from that geography. There's presuppositions that people have from past experiences. And these past experiences may not be our own experience. It may be the mothers, fathers, preachers, teachers, conventions, traditions, or mores of our particular culture versus a different culture. And somebody from the past may have had a bias about something, and we're now taking it on and inculcating it into our experience without even having to have an experience. And I found that can be carried down just from that ethnicity. We can have language. I notice when somebody's speaking the same language, you tend to be open up to them. When they speak a different language, you tend to close down. You feel more proximal or distal from that. That's not unless you know it. Now, when you know a language, I love when I go in and I have, I was in Houston. I had a Japanese airline come in with a whole crew. And I said, arigato to all the people that I saw. And they all smiled and they arigato and everything else, because I knew one word. I warmed up a communication that otherwise I would have probably a distance from. So it could be language. It could be nationality, as I said, or geography. It can be complexion. You could have rough skin, smooth skin, frizzy hair, dark hair, smooth skin, smooth hair. There's different complexions that could happen. Beauty. I know I've fallen, without a doubt, I've fallen to that. I've seen myself interact with people sometimes that are attractive in my ideas. Somebody else may not seem as attractive, but they'll be attracted to my ideas. They meet my search image. And I notice that I'm a little bit more open to them than somebody that doesn't match my search image.
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track, and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a two-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, Then join Dr. John DeMartini at the Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now let's continue with this episode.
So I can see that I have that. I don't think anybody escapes these prejudices or these sort of racial behaviors. That's why I don't think it's wise to point our finger at somebody else about race. I think it's wise to take a look at ourselves and realize that we all have these variables that we're dealing with as a human behavior. And we don't want to, you know, judge somebody else, because if we want to look at our own, point the finger at ourselves, pluck the mote out of your own eye before you pluck it out of somebody else, as the old biblical statement said. But it can be beauty, it can be height. I've seen people that are very short or very tall, and I've seen them being discriminated and opinionated. Oh, you could never do that because you're too short. I had a woman that became a very beautiful supermodel, but she wasn't as tall as the other ones, but she had a flair and a magnetism that counterbalanced it. So there were two different variables that people were judging by. But we can be judging people by height. We could judge people by occupation. I watched that happen one time when I walked into a restaurant in Chicago. I just come in from doing a seminar. It's about midnight, and the only place we could find to eat is this little taco place. We went in there, and there was some, quote, blue collar versus white collar. And I watched people, all of a sudden, when some white collar people sat next to some blue collar people, the blue collar people that were talking quieted down. And I watched that behavior because and it didn't start until they saw the white collar. So you could have discrimination against social positioning in business that could be a factor. And what's interesting is they could be very friendly on other areas. Some of these other areas that might be discriminative might not even be a factor, might get along and have great friendships because they both like soccer. And that could be another one, sports. I have seen people that go, I don't believe in that sport. That's a crazy sport. They could have discrimination on sports. It could be on levels of education. It could be on criminality. I was in prison. I don't want to ever talk to you because you were in prison. But yet I've met some people in prison that went out and did something extraordinary with their life and did philanthropic things and built businesses that were extraordinary. So we sometimes have discrimination on something of that nature. It could be sport team affiliation. I saw people fighting over a baseball game because of somebody said something about derogatory about the baseball players and that team and that city. It could also be music taste. I've seen people that can condemn people that do rock and roll and other people that condemn classic. That could be a discriminant factors. Then you could also have character, physical character traits, just physical traits, big nose, buck teeth, small bottoms, big bottoms, big breasts. I've seen men have biases and discrimination and almost attractions or repulsions on body size and proportions. I don't think anybody escapes some of these things. And various behaviors and mannerisms, accent of language can be a part of it. Now, if you take all of these different variations, and I've just mentioned a few, there's probably thousands of different things that we could be discriminating between people. And these sometimes are compounded. You may find that 8 or 10 of those are things that challenge your values and you now discriminate against somebody. And it's not because of what is being classified as it, color-based possibly. I had a gentleman who was had a darker melanin pigment and was one of the most intelligent individuals I met, had a grand business, massive business, was contributing philanthropically and everything else. And I was sitting there, I was looking up to this guy. I was going, what an amazing man this is. I was looking at a whole lot of criteria, and it didn't matter what pigment levels they had. It was just an astonishing, brilliant individual. I was fascinated by this man. So you can actually have some things that you're discriminating for under one person and then a completely different set another, because these over here are counterbalancing those over here. So the very net of all the things that you admire or despise or like or dislike or look up to or down on or attract or repel that support or challenge your value system is going to lead you to react with a prejudice towards or prejudice away. Or if you balance them and completely balance that equation, just open your heart to them. Because it's been shown that when you have a balanced equation, open heart occurs. I've been teaching the breakthrough experience, my signature program, for many years now, as I said. And I do in there a DeMartini method. It's the method I do to be able to ask a series of questions. I'd like to go through those questions to show how it could be helpful in this particular topic. You take a trait, you ask this question: what specific trait, action, or inaction do you perceive this individual displaying or demonstrating that you admire most, that's an impulse towards, or despise most, an impulse away, that you're discriminating and you're prejudiced on? But you may not call it racial, but it is a form of racism in a sense, but it's just a different criteria that's adding up. And you write that down, what that is. Then you ask this question to yourself. Go to a moment self, where and when I perceive myself displaying or demonstrating that particular trait, action, or inaction. And you identify where it was, when it was, who it was demonstrated in front of, and who perceived it or to. And then you stack that up and you keep looking until you see it's quantitatively and qualitatively equal to what you see in them. At first, you're going to go, no, I don't do that, because you're too proud or too humble to admit what you see in others inside you. But if you actually look and hold yourself accountable to balance the equation, which I've done in over 100,000 people, I assure you that you only judge people on the outside for parts on the inside of you that you haven't balanced and loved. And that's really a realization. So really all the people out there that we have these discriminations of seeking and avoiding to are really our teachers. They're there to try to teach us how to love the parts of us we haven't owned and loved in our life. And I've demonstrated in the breakthrough experience. And if you've never been to it, it's an amazing experience to realize that everybody out there, nobody's worth putting on pedestals or pits. Everybody's worth putting in hearts. And any part you don't have in the heart is a part you don't love in yourself. Well, you got to be able to own all parts of yourself, the hero, the villain, the virtue and the vice, all of it inside you if you really want to love your life. And any part you don't is the button you push that you're too proud or too humble to admit. And there's your discrimination, your prejudice for and against as a result of it. So we go in there and I identify where we do it, and we find out exactly till it's the same degree. And at first you think that's not possible, but I've been demonstrating it for 3 decades and 33 years almost. In March will be 33 years. I've been demonstrating that ownership and how proven that is to many, many thousands of people. Then we go in there and take the trait we admire that we look up to, and we ask, what are the downsides? How is it a disservice to me? And we take the traits we despise and we go, what are the upsides? And how is it a service to me? And we level the playing field, because no behavior is anything but neutral until our subjective biases and our narrow-mindedness label it, because of our own subconscious wounds that we've had in the past. Once we go in there and find the downsides of what we have up, we calm down the infatuation and the prejudice towards. And once we find the benefits of that we think is down, that we resent, that's the prejudice and discrimination and avoidance, we now open up. And then when we open up and see that we're equals to that, that we're not fearing the loss of these people or fearing the gain of these people, which cause our autonomic response of fight or flight or rest and digest. And we're able to love and appreciate people and have resilience and adaptability. And we actually benefit because we live longer with that. Our immune system is enhanced. The pro and anti-inflammatory systems are balanced. The heart rate variability in our body is expanded, and we don't react. We don't have a reaction. We get to see people objectively. Objectivity means neutral, not polarized, not biased. And by doing the method, and there's a series of questions one by one that I explain in the breakthrough experience on doing the method that allows to dissolve it. I have seen people that are enraged with people, wanting to literally almost kill them. They at least that's the language. They probably wouldn't do it, but they add a language, I'd like to kill it. They're literally enraged, and they go and do the method, and they're in tears of gratitude and put their arms around it. I was in literally in Dublin, Ireland, and I had the opportunity to work with the president of Ireland, and they put together a pilot study where we took 3 women who had their family members killed by the 3 people that killed them. And they're in the same room, separated by a security system. And I had them do the method. And there was a massive discrimination between, in this case, a various religious group from the Northern and Southern Ireland group and, the Catholics and the Protestants. And here we have all of a sudden in clash. And then when we got through at the end of the time we did the method, they were hugging each other. mind-blowingly hugging, even though this individual is the one in prison for killing that person's family member. They couldn't even comprehend that. And it transcended prejudice. It transcended discrimination. It transcended this so-called racial construct. And it was amazing to watch. And the reason I'm mentioning this and talking about this topic is because that tool is a gold mine for people who find themselves emotion reacting and not wanting to be reactive, but find themselves reactive because they've got subconsciously stored wounds or fantasies and nightmares sitting in their minds because of associations of support and challenge in their values over time. And if you don't have your own governance to be able to do that, you will react probably. And we don't want to admit it, but we actually have these emotional reactions and these discriminations and prejudices and racial concerns, because I really believe that racism is not just about color or nationality or whatever. It's any of those variables. We can get the same behaviors that we've classified that because of all these variables, intelligent levels and what we dress. I've seen people because the way they dress. I've seen people with tattoos and non-tattoos. I've seen people that have fake smiles and personas. Oh, they're that. I've seen every imaginable type of variable, but all of it boils down to a trait we're too proud or too humble to admit we have. When we actually have reflective awareness, true reflective awareness is what I call intimacy. Intimacy is when you actually realize that everything you see in them, you have in you. And you're not resisting it. You're not attracted or repelled from it. You're just honoring it in both individuals. When you can value their value system as much as your value system, you've mastered your life. You have equanimity within yourself and equity between yourself and others, which is the greatest place to have sustainable, fair exchange. And that helps you. I've seen this discrimination in types of businesses. I've seen discrimination in income levels, as I've said. I've seen it in where you are in the business, whether you're a worker, whether you're an owner, or a blue collar, white collar. All of those have nothing to do with it. And my dad, I have to say, my dad, when I was about 4 years old, my dad was trying to give me an insight about this because he had me go out and work. My dad owned a plumbing business. And he had me go out and work with a gentleman who was the ditch digger. And it was interesting. And I said, well, I'd like to work with the plumber. And he says, no, I want you to go out with a ditch digger. And the reason he did is because he knew I would learn something from this ditch digger. He knew I would learn and not to put people into different categories so much. And I went out there and I learned so much from him because he was a master ditch digger. And his goal was to be able to dig a ditch, repair a pipe and put it down and put the sods of the grass back in place and put a water main in from the street to the house so perfectly that the people would call and said, well, you didn't come. And he said, well, we did come and it's all installed. But he wanted to make sure that it was so perfectly done and so masterfully done. And he said to me, and I was driving home with him back to the office. And I said, he said to me, he says, you know, I have the greatest job in the world. And I said, how so? Because I'm thinking he's a ditch digger. He said, because without me, people die. I bring water and without water, we die. And his perception brought tears to my eyes thinking about it. Here's a guy that's not necessarily socioeconomically at the top, but intellectually, caring, personality, love. As far as a human being, he was an amazing human being. And so the ratios of all those judgments and all those variables we could imagine, if they're balanced, we get to love the individual. And sometimes we get caught on one or two little issues and narrow our mind to one little trivial things in life instead of look at the whole picture and find the balance and own the traits we see in others. If you can take the hero and the villain on the outside and realize that within yourself and level the playing field and have equity between you and other people, the prejudice, the racial discriminations, and all those things tend to melt away. And so I just wanted to do a special presentation on that topic. And I hope that people will consider joining me at the Breakthrough Experience to learn how to do this method, because this method is a goldmine. It was amazing what it can do for people. And I've seen it help thousands of people because we all have it. Every one of us here have moments of discriminations and prejudices. And the more we're living by our highest value, the reason I tell people to make sure you fill your day with the highest priority actions and delegate lower priority distractions is because when you're living by your highest value, you're most objective, most neutral, least judging. Think of a day when you got something done that was amazing. It was the highest priority things. You really knocked it out of the ballpark on your productivity and how resilient you were and how adaptive you were when you came home. And then think of a day when you had to do low priority stuff. You were putting fires out. You go, my God, I didn't get what I wanted to get done. And how volatile you were and how emotional and reactive you were when you got home. When you're in your executive center, you're more objective and reason. And you're thinking before emotion reacting. When you're in your amygdala, you're more likely to emotion react before you think and more likely to be prejudiced. So, and the same thing when it comes to when you're doing something that's sustainable and fair exchange, you grow your wealth. And when you have more economic systems and you have more stability, you're also more likely to be understanding of people, more philanthropic. So I'm a firm believer that this tool, that the Demartini method, can help people transcend these accumulated variables that we stack up supportive or challenging to our values that are, in a sense, stopping us from getting to love another human being, which is nothing but a reflection of ourselves. We're not loving in ourselves. So if you'd love to love yourself more, learning to do the method can help you transcend some of these things that we're trapped in. I have, without a doubt, been trapped finding my prejudices and my discriminations. But every time I've done the method on when I become aware of them cognitively, they dissolve. And that gives me the freedom to now realize people, because I travel all over the world. I've been to 163 countries in my life. And I get to meet people of all different walks of life. And I've yet to see anybody that's not caring enough to want to go and raise a beautiful family, try to make a difference in the world, make a contribution in the world. Deep inside, we all want to do something that's meaningful, that makes a difference in the world, way down inside. But when we don't know how to manage our state, don't know how to live by priority, and don't know how to neutralize some of our things, we can accumulate this to such a degree that we can go to these extremes that we have seen sometimes on television and the media likes to promote. And I'm a firm believer that anything you don't love in the people around you is a part of the things you don't love in yourself. Give yourself permission to love yourself. When you're living authentically, according to your highest value, you have the highest probability of getting to surround yourself with amazing people that you get to love. So I just want to talk about racism for a minute and the discrimination and prejudice that's associated with it, which has sometimes 50 variables that are adding up. And we sometimes confuse what we're even upset about. And we haven't really broke it down. But if we actually go in there and neutralize them all, use the Demartini method, and learn to live by priority in life, which is why I tell people to go on my website and do the value determination process and live by top priority and learn the method, because it will definitely increase the probability of you having resilience, adaptability, and a longer life potential. So that's my presentation. I'm glad that you were able to keep up with me. Hope you took some notes. I hope this was stimulating in some way. And I look forward to seeing you at our next presentation.
Well, that was just a small sample of what Dr. Demartini has to share. And if you would love to continue learning from Dr. Demartini, please follow the Demartini Show. That way you'll be notified when we add the next episode. And if you'd love to find out more about Dr. Demartini's work, then log on to our website on www.drdemartini.com. You'll find loads of valuable information on our blog, and there's also a free training page that you'll be able to access under the Learn tab on the homepage. You can also use the online chat function to talk to a member of the Demartini team. We would love to get to know you and to understand what you would love to achieve so that we can best guide you through the appropriate education session to help you to achieve your goals and dreams. And we'd also love to invite you to join us in the Staying Inspired Facebook group. Our goal in the community is to help you to clarify your vision, stay inspired, and take the action steps to empower all areas of your life. So join us by linking to demartini.eng/inspired. That's it for this episode. We look forward to sharing more inspiration from Dr. Demartini shortly. Until next time, stay focused and stay inspired.